and therefore the amount that you foresee receiving from this additional 5 mils might be less than you anticipate.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. So the 20-year term enables you to get a better rate of interest, is that correct? I mean a lower rate of interest?
Yes, that's true.
And one need not look into a glass in order to see 10 years ahead or 12 years ahead. Now we know, that common sense tells us, as well as all the statistics that we have in our office, that, for example, out in the Alamo Avenue, out in the Pinehurst area, that is a rapidly growing district out there. Take over in the Brucker area on the east side, another very rapidly growing district. Hundreds of houses have been erected, and some are in process of erection. All that means children. Now, these schools are in this program. The new schools are to be built only in permanent residential areas. There's nothing of this fly-by-night in this program whatsoever.
Well, now I suppose all this money is going to be used to modernize school buildings and build new modern buildings. And I'd like to raise a question here with Mrs. Church because of her close association with PTA work. Mrs. Church, what are the factors that make a school building what you'd call modern?
Well, I think probably I could say something about what the parents think about it. First thing, they want good lighting. They want good acoustics. They'd like to have uniform heating, you know, to keep down some of these coals that are forever popping up. Correct protection from sun glare. And very important, fireproof buildings. And I think the parents feel that a one-story building, which would eliminate the need for stairways and stair halls.
Well, wait a minute now. Why? Kids can run up and down stairs, can't they? That won't hurt them any.
Yes, there are lots of children that can run up and down stairs, and there are lots of children that can't run up and down stairs. We have to think of our exceptional children, our handicapped children.
Well, you put them on the first floor.
Well, not always. I know over at Central High School now, some of the boys and girls who have had rheumatic fever, for instance, heart trouble, have to go up to third and fourth floors. We don't have adequate elevator service for them. If they're on the first floor, it makes access to the buildings easier, saves duplication of toilets and restrooms.
Any other arguments for the one-floor construction, Mr. Heathcote, or don't you want
to... Well, these youngsters not only can run up and down stairs, but I have watched them fall up and down stairs, too.
Then I think it's been proven to us, too, Dr. Dunbar, that a one-story building is cheaper to build than a two-story building. And as parents and as taxpayers, we want the most for our money.
Well, I suppose we're talking a little bit beside the point here, because certainly the voters of Kalamazoo aren't going to vote on one-story buildings, are they? The school board's going to decide whether the building shall be
That's
one
right.
or two-story or what.
Well, yes, but the parents are helping them decide.
Sure, certainly. Any other aspects of a modern school building? I guess I interrupted you there, Mrs. Church.
Well, I just don't remember where I was now, but I think that I think we pretty well mentioned most of the things.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, do you think that parents want this modern type of building badly enough to pay for it? What do you think of the prospects of this school issue here?
Yes, I do think the parents want it. They've been thinking about it for a long time. I'd like to cite one significant statement that was made by a man who was a member of this committee I spoke of a while ago while we were touring one of our schools. He came across quite a number of things, such as poor lighting, bad floor conditions, various other things. For instance, on one school, just 3 toilets for a great number of girls. And he made this statement, the men in my factory wouldn't work in a factory, wouldn't work in my factory if my building weren't better than this. And he said it was about time we did something to bring our schools up to industrial, at least up to industrial standards.
All right, Mrs. Church, now here's another question I'd like to ask, and I think I'll direct this to Mr. Ford. You know, the city of Kalamazoo is pretty famous for its pay-as-you-go policy in order to keep our city debt free. Why doesn't the Board of Education follow suit on that, Mr. Ford?
Well, I believe the Board of Education thinks that these things are needed now. And for that reason, it's impossible to follow the pay-as-you-go program. In order to get these new buildings, get these improvements which our children need to have, which our schools need, it's necessary to borrow the money now and issue the bonds so that these needed things can be had now.
Mm-hmm. While you're speaking, Mayor Ford, I'd like to ask you about the polling places. I guess I called you Mayor Ford. I've been trying not to. Where are the polling places? You have 6 precincts, I believe, this election.
Yes, the school board just changed this method of voting. Before, we've only had 1 voting place, and that usually was in the school administration building, only 1 voting precinct. But now the school district has been divided into 6 voting precincts, and they've been fairly well divided in 6 portions of our school district. Do you want to know the exact places, Dr. Dunbar?
Well, I think that people can read those places in the paper, possibly. I'd just like to ask this question about them, though. Do you think 6 polling places are enough? Is it going to make the voting convenient enough to the people so that you'll get a sizable vote out on November 28th?
Oh, yes. I think that the 6 places are enough, and I'm sure that with the election inspectors who have been appointed, that it'll be convenient for the people to vote. These 6 places, incidentally, are like this. One's in the northwest part of the school district, another one's in the north central part, another one's in the northeast part of the city, in the west central portion of the city, the southeast central part of the school district, and the southwest central part of the school district. So they're conveniently located.
Well, now, Mr. Heathcote, you seem to be pretty certain a little while ago that the voters of Kalamazoo are going to approve this proposal. But I'd like to ask you this question. What if these proposals are turned down? Suppose the voters say no on November 28th. Maybe we shouldn't think of that, but perhaps it would be a good thing for all of us who are considering how to vote on this to think of the alternatives.
Well, Dr. Dunbar, a city can turn the proposal down, and it has been done in a few cases. In most cases where proposals like this have been made that are based on definite need, that the community has enough pride in itself and interest in its children that they vote affirmatively, as has been done in several cities in Michigan. However, if it is to be turned down, that doesn't erase the need at all, Dr. Dunbar. The need will remain. Now, in some cities, they have met this by having half-day sessions in some schools. I am not suggesting that is a way out here. But in the spring, undoubtedly, this whole problem would be presented to the citizens again. And if it were defeated then, it would be presented again. The need is there.
Mr. Heathcote, why can't we start thinking right now in this term that this is an investment for the future for our boys and girls and not an expense?
Well, I'd like to know just a little bit more clearly, Mr. Heathcote, why it is that this this package program, this long-range program, has so much advantage over submitting one issue at a time. If you want to add a building or a part of a building, why not one at a time? What advantage does this long-range program have?
Well, I would say that it would have exactly the same advantage to the citizens as the community chest has. You remember when we had the community, before we had the community chest, we had about 15 or 20 different drives a year. It's all put into one package, the community chest package. Now in this building program, I suppose that we could go to the voters each year with a new proposal. Each time we wanted something. We don't like to do that. They don't like to have it done.
Here's another advantage, Dr. Dunbar, in doing this now. Our bond experts have told us that this is the best time to borrow money because the interest rate now is probably the lowest that it will be for some time. If we waited 2 years from now to borrow a couple million dollars, we probably would have to pay a higher rate of interest.
And some of this money might be used later on when building costs are lower than they are now. You get your interest costs low now, The money might be available later when building costs are a little lower. Is that correct?
That's correct. I might say this, too, that, as I understand it, the school board's intending to go right ahead with the building program when the money becomes available, as soon as it's practical to do that. Now, because of the large-scale building program, it may be necessary to wait a little while on some certain buildings. But in the meantime, the school district can invest this money, which it has borrowed on these bonds, in government bonds, and at a rate of interest so that it really will mean that borrowing this money on the school district bonds really won't cost the taxpayers hardly anything, because the school district can invest the money in government bonds.
And so it'll be right there when it's needed.
True.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Heathcote, Mrs. Church, here's a question that might interest our listeners. What are other cities doing to meet their building needs? How about their experiences?
Well, let's ask Mrs. Church. What did Millwood do?
Right. That's right. Mrs. Church is a foreigner, isn't she? She comes from Millwood.
Yes, I guess I am a foreigner in this group, but a foreigner usually fits in pretty well if you give them a chance, and I've been trying to fit in.
Oh, we have awfully good international relations between
us. I think we do. Good international as well as good human relations. Yeah. Yes, Millwood needed new schools, and they're getting them. We had to have them. And so we just went ahead, and as I said, we call it an investment out there, an investment in our children and for our children and in our community. We're glad to have these new buildings going up.
Well, how about some of the larger cities, shall we say, in the country, mm-hmm. besides Millwood? Heathcote, do you have any information on that?
I think now you're
that?
Talking about Comstock, aren't you?
Portage.
And Comstock needed a building, and they voted for it. What was that levy? I don't know exactly what that was there. But Portage voted 14 mills. And Millwood, you said 10.5, wasn't it? And Ann Arbor floated $7.5 million, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was over $7 million.
Over $7 million.
And they voted 9 mills at that time. Saginaw voted 4.5 mills.
May I interrupt? Did you know, Dr. Heathcote, that Alpena recently voted 35 mills?
35.
35 mills. Of course, doesn't mean that that's going to be levied. But they voted that amount anyway, so that if the school board wants to levy that rate, it may do so.
That probably is the highest in the state.
Yes, the constitutional limit is 50 mills.
So what you're asking here in Kalamazoo isn't anything out of line from what other cities are doing in the way of expanding their school facilities.
No, I would say that what we are asking for is very, very conservative compared to some of these larger cities.
I think so, too. I know that Sault Ste. Marie, for instance, has voted 8 mills.
Yes.
I know of another small community called Glennie, who told me the other day they had voted 25 mills for the construction of their school, and then they were still going to have to vote more for the equipment, the gymnasium equipment, and their kitchen equipment, and so on.
How will these bonds be sold, Mr. Ford?
Well, they'll be sold through investment houses, which will bid for these bonds. And, of course, whoever bids the best price to the school district will be the purchaser of the bonds.
May I add just a comment on the question you asked a moment ago?
Of course,
Mr. Dunbar. You said, will it carry? Of course, we don't know. All I know is that in 41 elections, similar elections held in Michigan this year, 34 of them carried. Only six failed to carry.
Well, that's certainly a good omen for November 28th. And I think perhaps the clock being where it is, we'd better conclude our broadcast on that note. I'm sure that you, Mrs. Church, Mr. Heathcote, Mr. Ford, have given our listeners a lot to think about in this matter of the school election on November 28th.
You have been listening to the first in a series of 3 half-hour roundtable discussions on What About Our Schools? Dan Heathcote, Assistant Superintendent of Schools, Henry Ford, Attorney for the School Board, and Mrs. E.L. Church, President of the Michigan Congress of Parents and Teachers, participated in this first program. The second and third programs in this series will be heard on Friday evenings, November 18th and 25th at 10:30. This has been another program presented in the public interest by the Fetzer Broadcasting Company.